Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy as always to be along with you on the afternoon drive. And boy, is there a lot to talk about on the show today. Now, as far as the local sports front goes, so much happening. Right now, the 3A Wrestling Championships are taking place in Orem at Utah Valley University. Both Carbon and Emory well represented in the state championship tournaments. Last night for the high school basketball scene, well, there was a lot of excitement there as well. I'll start by talking about how things went down. The Emory Lady Spartans defeated San Juan, and Carbon defeated ALA last night. Now, both teams ended in a tie for first place in their own regions. Carbon's Region 14, Emory's Region 15. A coin flip determined the seeding. Okay, so Emory will be the number 2 seed coming out of Region 15. Carbon will be the number 2 seed coming out of Region 14. Why is that important? Those two teams will more than likely meet in the second round of the state tournament. It's been a while since we've seen the two girls' teams go toe-to-toe. I mean, only 40 miles separate the two schools, and they haven't played in the last little bit. So there's a good chance we're going to see those two teams play in the state championship tournament in just a couple of weeks. That's some exciting news. Now, in the swimming pool, the local area was so well represented yesterday. The Emory Spartan boys swim team wins their third championship in 4 years. Back-to-back champions now. But they moved up to the 3A classification this year, and it didn't matter. They still took care of business yesterday. Champions, state champs in the swimming pool. The Emory Lady Spartans finished third. The Carbon Lady Dinos finished second. And Carbon swim coach Cameron Davis was named 3A Swim Coach of the Year. So there's so much happening right now with the local sports front. We'll go over all that in just a bit. Also today, I want to talk NBA trade deadline. That was the big topic yesterday. The majority of the show was geared towards the local scene as we were at the BDAC for Fan Appreciation Night. Just happened to land on the trade deadline where massive, massive deals went down. We're going to dissect that as a whole. Big winners for me, Cleveland and LA. I know those two teams made a deal yesterday with one another, but the Cavs got younger. They got more athletic. I think the Cavaliers are a team that you have to pay attention to in the Eastern Conference. You always have to because they have LeBron James. As long as you have LeBron James, you have a chance to win. But now they get a pretty good defender in Larry Nance from LA. They get a scorer off the wing, a young scorer off the wing in Jordan Clarkson. They acquire Rodney Hood, who's a great perimeter defender. And I thought that Rodney Hood was going to take huge steps for the Jazz this season. I thought he'd be the best player on that Jazz team. I think he's going to really have a lot of success around LeBron James. And then they acquire George Hill as well. Now, for the immediate, like right now, the Cavaliers won the trade deadline because they're a legitimate championship contender and they got better right now. This summer, ask me if the Lakers won the trade deadline. Because if the Lakers pulled a deal with the Cavaliers and opened up enough space to acquire two max contracts, which they can do now, if they renounce the rights to Julius Randle in the offseason and then use the stretch provision on Luol Deng, they have $70 million in cap space. They can sign LeBron James. They can sign Paul George. If that happens, this was a monumental day in Laker history, which is saying something because it's one of the most storied franchises in league history. A couple of really unique storylines taking place there at the trade deadline. And what's next for the Jazz? They get Jay Crowder. I love it. I think he fits the puzzle. I think that Dennis Lindsay, the Wizard, I'm a huge Dennis Lindsay fan. I call him the Wizard because now he has like five guys under contract next year that will play a crucial role in the team, and they're going to make something like $24 million between five guys. Dennis Lindsay did some work yesterday, so we're going to talk about the NBA trade deadline as well. And tonight here on KOAL, we will have Emory High School basketball. The Spartans are on the road tonight taking on the San Juan Broncos as the regular season comes to a close. Live coverage for that game is set to begin at 6:30. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA tonight, now that the trade deadline has passed. Pretty full slate of games. At 5 o'clock, we get the Clippers on the road to take on the Pistons. That game's going to be on ESPN. Blake Griffin going up against his old squad. We get the Pelicans at the Phillies, Cleveland at Atlanta, Boston will welcome in Indiana. All of those games in the 5 o'clock hour. At 6 o'clock, it's Milwaukee at Miami. Denver will take on Houston. We get the Jazz playing host to the Charlotte Hornets tonight. That game will not air on KOAL. Instead, we're going to get Emory High School basketball. And then we get Minnesota at Chicago at 7:30 tonight. That game will be on ESPN. Nightcap action, Portland at Sacramento. Great show coming up. We're going to recap last night's victory for USU Eastern. If you missed the post-game interview with Coach Vando, that's coming up in just a moment. And we'll be joined by my great friend Jamison Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com to break down yesterday's trade deadline moves. It's all coming up on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. In the Emory Spartan boys swim team claimed a state championship yesterday, participating in the finale at the Wasatch Aquatic Center in Heber. The Spartans scored 242 points on the boys' side of the pool, easily defeating North Summit, who finished in second with 187 points. Judge finished in third with 171 points, followed by Grantsville and Grand County. On the girls' side of the pool, it was Roland Hall claiming the state championship with 279 points. The Carbon Lady Dinos finished in second with 257, followed by Emory in third with 225. As far as individual top performances go, Emory had five throughout the evening, winning the first event, which was the women's 200-yard medley relay. Another first-place finish went to the Spartans in the 50-yard free on the boys' side as Keldon Guyman finished in 22.67 seconds. Another first-place finish came Emory's way in the 100-yard free as Guyman finished that one in 50 seconds. Emory then claimed first place in the 200-yard medley relay for the boys, and in the final event of the afternoon was once again the Emory boys squad, this time in the 400-yard free relay, claiming first place. Congratulations to the Emory Spartan boys swim squad on their 2018 state championship performance. We move over to high school basketball, and the Emory Lady Spartans closed out the 2018 regular season with a 75-49 win over the San Juan Broncos at home. Emory led just 20-16 at the end of the first quarter, but methodically pulled away. In the victory, Emory was led by Megan Jensen, who scored 30 points. Kinley Toomer chipped in with 20, and Lainey Jensen scored 13. The win, along with a Richfield victory, meant that the Lady Spartans were tied at the top of the standings, and a coin flip later took place to determine the number one and number two seeds. Emory lost the coin flip. They will enter the state championship tournament as the number two seed from Region 15. Now, it wasn't just Emory's girls basketball squad in action last night, wrapping up the regular season. The Carbon Lady Dinos dominated American Leadership 73-16. They outscored ALA in each quarter, including a 23-2 run in the third. Now, that gives Carbon a three-way tie for first place, along with Juab and Union. A coin flip will take place later today to determine seeding for Region 14. We move over to junior college basketball, and last night on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, the USU Eastern Eagles men's and women's squads participated in Fan Appreciation Night against the Snow College Badgers in Scenic West Athletic Conference action. The men earned a 90-73 victory over Snow College, what was a very entertaining game throughout. USU Eastern was led in this contest by Milan Sirlik. He scored 22 points and accumulated 7 rebounds. Landon Swartz registered a double-double with 19 points and 12 boards. The win firmly gives USU Eastern a grasp on third place in the conference. They'll look to continue their winning ways when they return to the court on Saturday on the road to take on CSI. Now we stick with USU Eastern basketball, and unfortunately the women dipped to 3-5 in conference play as they suffered a loss to Snow College 65-61. USU Eastern trailed by double digits and actually got within two but could not take the lead. The women will follow suit and return to the court on Saturday with a road trip to Twin Falls to take on CSI. Beginning today, the Emory and Carbon High School wrestling squads will travel to Utah Valley University, which is in Orem, to participate in the wrestling finales. All wrestlers who qualified at the divisional round last week will now participate in a 16-man bracket to determine state champions. Carbon will have 16 wrestlers in the state tournament, while Emory will have 15. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We will bring you these results and updates as soon as they become available. And we end by moving over to high school basketball tonight on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. The Emory Spartan boys basketball team will travel on the road to meet the San Juan Broncos. Start time for this game is set for 7 p.m. Live coverage will begin on KOAL at 6.30. And the Carbon Dino boys basketball team will end the season at home against ALA. Start time for their game is set for 7 p.m. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
A little bit different version of the Coach's Corner on today's episode of Drive Time Sports. If you missed it late last night, the USU Eastern men's basketball team cruised to a victory over Snow College 90-73. This team is playing lights out at the moment. Right now, two games ahead of Snow College for third place in conference. And really, you take a look at two out of the four losses for USU Eastern this year in league play. Two of them have come at the hands of Southern Idaho, top 15 team in the country. One of them was in triple overtime to the number four team in the country. And then they lost to Snow College on the road, which is a very difficult place to play. Since then, USU Eastern has topped Salt Lake, but the time was number four. And then last night, top Snow College by 17. They seem to be playing their best basketball of the year right now. And last night, following the victory, Coach Vando sat down at the broadcast booth. We talked a little bit about last night's contest and what lies ahead for the team as they prepare to travel to Twin Falls tomorrow for their third and final matchup with Southern Idaho. Here's our interview last night with Coach Vando during the Emory Medical postgame show. Coach, that was a thriller. I know the final score says 90-73, but let's be honest, that game was much closer than the 17-point deficit, right?
Oh, yeah. So it was it one more time, you know, for a fan appreciation night, another great, great game. So I was thrilled, like, you know, our guys play awesome and they follow, you know, our game plan like so, like strict, like it was like I said, you know, people who come on specific on this night, they go home and I said, man, you know, that was a great
yeah.
game.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Coach, when I sit and look at the final statistics, one thing stands out to me: the fact that won the rebound battle tonight, 51-39, and a couple of names stand out. Whenever Sam Velez is out of the court, he has a knack for the ball. I mean, he is so crucial on the glass. Montero had several key rebounds, but Landon Swartz finished with 12 boards tonight in a double-double performance. I mean, those are statistics that pop out to me right off of the bat.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, we talk, you know, like on the pre-game speech, that if we, you know, really want to have a chance to beat Snow, we had to win, you know. Hand out, you know, turnovers, and we did a great job, and we finished just with 11, and rebounds. We knew that, you know, when we play over there, you know, at Snow, they kill us on second chance,
yep.
And they force us, you know, like I think we had probably 18 or 19 turnovers over there.
Right.
So, and then, like, if you see, like, just, you know, they send, like, maybe four guys to offense rebound. It's not just about their bigs. Their little guards go to take a chance to have an offensive rebound. And I told our guys, I said, guys, not just the big men. We need to find a body, and we need to box them out. So I think we did a pretty good job. And in the first half, we let them score, you know, a couple second chance. But I think on the second half, we did a great job on that.
Now, another statistic that does stand out to me in the second half, just 1 of 13 from downtown. Now, this is a team that definitely thrives when the three ball is falling. Yeah, Coach, you guys found a way to outscore Snow in the second half despite hitting only 1 3-point shot.
Well, I think, you know, like I said, we moved the ball really, really well. And then, you know, they tried, you know, they had to took, you know, our 3 points, you know, out, and then, like, you know, we ended, stretched the floor, and we moved the ball and shared the ball, and then we could, you know, find some, you know, hole on their defense, and then we had a you know, like we play smart and try to penetrate and then like he score some easy basket and buy the layup, or you know they send us to the free throw line early on the second half. That was crucial too. So I think you know our guys get smart and then like we just score what they gave to us.
Yep.
So I think it was pretty good.
Milan comes back from a concussion, and he was just brilliant. I mean, I don't think Milan could have played. I don't think it's possible to get a better. For the first 10 minutes of the game, he was perfect. He was absolutely perfect in the first 10 minutes of that game. I don't think you can get any more production out of a player, Coach. He made the right decisions. I think he was 5 for 5, if I'm not mistaken, to start this game. And the big thing with Milan, he didn't have a single turnover in tonight's game. He was off the charts coming back from a concussion.
Like I said, you know, do you remember when we talk, you know, like about that he's playing against CSI or not?
Yep.
And I said, we lost our reference right there. Milan, it's our guy. You know, if like I said, he's very smart and he can read, you know, screens and he's so. He have so many knowledge about the game
yep.
that, you know, like put him in the situation that, you know, like he's our leader. He, you know, like he can control the game. He can put, you know, what pace do we want, you know, if he can want like a play fast, he can do that. If we need to play slow, he can do that. But like you said, you know, every single game he's getting better in a take like a good decisions. Not forcing any shots, not forcing some, you know, like a spectacular assist like he did on the first half of the season.
Yep.
Like he had some turnovers because, you know, he forced it too much.
Sure.
So yep. Now, like, you know, he's more natural, you know, like he's playing, you know, like what the game give to you know, to him. And he's doing great. Like, I'm so happy that, you know, he could play, you know, this game because... He's the guy who control our team.
I think I almost lost my voice when we had the alley-oop to Landon here at the end of the game. That was the exclamation point. That's when you knew this game was over, Coach. What's your reaction when you see a play like that? The stands are packed. You break the full court press. Here's an unselfish pass right up the top to Landon. He climbs the ladder, grabs it, two-hand flush. That's the exclamation point.
To be honest with you, I didn't know that he could have do that. I said, I look at, you know, Ray. I said, hey, can he do that? I was surprised that Landon catching, you know, that LAU. So like, you know, he deserves, you know, like, you know, he had a, you know, he got hurt, you know, this year. And then, you know, he got it to you know, go, you know, start it all over again, battle for minutes, working hard. And now, like, he's finally, you know, back again, like, when he was on the first half of the season. So, right now, like, I think we gain another, you know, heavy, you know, like I say, gun, you know, like, in our arsenal. Like he can help us a lot in different ways.
Sure.
You see, like he, you know, he did a great job on number 12. You know, he played defense. He rebounds. He help. He, you know, he can hit threes. He can attack in the basket. So that's, you know, his versatility. It's putting him in a, you know, in a situation that we need him over there, and because that, like. We put, you know, we can get, you know, Nima come off the bench and lighting up his threes that the guys will say, oh man, you know, like we spend our energy in Landon and suddenly he put Nima, you know, in and Nima is, you know, start, you know, hitting, the, you know, some threes. I think, you know, right now we have a good rotation. We have our guys that can, you know, compete against all the other teams in our conference. And the most important, you said, like a We broke the press and unselfish pass.
Yes,
that's the, you know, the whole thing, you know, like that's the good, you know, the whole point about our team right now. We are sharing the ball and we enjoy playing, you know, on each other. So we have nobody who wants to be the big time scorer and all that. We share the ball and this is making, you know, our game. Like I used to tell them, man, this is basketball. We move the ball, we share the ball, and it's hard to guard.
Very, very. And you know, some of the other things is, Dad, I mean, you guys have so many threats on the perimeter that when you're sharing the ball, I don't know how you can guard this team. I mean, really. That's how you win, only making 1-3 in 20 minutes, right, by sharing the basketball.
Oh, yes.
Which you guys did.
Yes. And then we've been working that, you know, in practice. We want them, you know, like we have some drills that they need to share the ball. They need to, you know, like pass. I used to say, hey, trade a good shot for an awesome shot. And they understand that right now, and they are doing that, you know, really good. And this is makes me proud, you know, because, you know, they understand what we want and how we want them to play. And it's, you know, for the fans, I think it's very enjoyable because, you know, like everybody touched the ball and everybody, you know, have a chance to score.
Definitely a fun contest tonight, Coach. We get the win 90-73. It's an important one. Now 4-4 in conference play, and we got to travel on the road to CSI on Saturday, so we don't have a whole lot of time to celebrate this win.
No, we got to work, you know, tomorrow. We got to leave, you know, we got to be on the road, and Saturday is going to be a really, really tough game. But I think, you know, like I said, we have a chance to beat them over there. Even, you know, like tonight, you know, we're going traveling to CSI with so much confidence about, you know, after this game that we're going to try. I think we're going to have a pretty good chance to go at CSI and at least to compete against them.
Well, that's crazy because the regular season's almost over. I mean, we're getting down to it.
Time flies, right?
Like it is.
When we start this, you know, Jordan, like, you know, like we say, hey, man, you know, finally we're here. And suddenly we're talking about, man, it's almost over.
I know. So. I remember talking with you, Coach, in November. Plenty of time to work these things out here at the broadcast table, right? We're going up against Impact Academy. Yeah. Plenty of time to work out the kinks. There's no more time. I mean, it's go time.
Yeah, yeah. And it's fun time, man. You know, like the most important for me, it's like my players, I tell them every single game, you got to go over there and have fun.
Yeah.
And I think they're having fun right now. And for me, that's the most important.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you stopping by the broadcast booth. We're going to get Coach Jones on for a minute and talk about tonight's victory.
Well, thank you so much. But you see, like, you know, this guy, you know, like he came with his Air Jordan just because of you. So
that was luck, right?
Yeah.
It's all about the clothing. That's what we've learned here at the broadcast booth, right?
Oh, yeah.
The clothing is what brings us luck.
Exactly.
Coach, congratulations on the win.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me over here.
Right. My pleasure as always, okay. Coach.
Thank you.
Again, that's Coach Vando last night following the victory over Snow College, USU Eastern, now with the 4 conference wins, looking to avoid a first-round matchup, positioning themselves for a first-round bye in the conference tournament, which is right around the corner. We've got a break for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to move over to talk NBA basketball. We got to touch on the trade deadline yesterday, but now we're going to look at the aftermath. Great friend of mine, Jameson Welsh, will join us when we return here on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports. Back after this.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year. It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarino on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM, and we have to talk NBA basketball. Now, yesterday we got to briefly dive into the trade deadline and the Live on Location show, but today we're going to talk about it in depth. Massive trades all around the NBA yesterday. Big winners, maybe some losers. Came out even. I mean, we're going to take a look at it all right now with Jameson Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Great friend of mine, always kind enough to join us on the show. Jameson, thank you again.
Oh, not a problem, Jordan. Thanks for having me as always. Much appreciated.
Hey, let's dive right into it. Who was the big winner yesterday in the trade deadline?
It's co-winners. It's the teams that made probably the biggest deal of the day. That's the Lakers and the Cavs. Those are the two winners by far. We look at the whole situation. I mean, both of those teams, they orchestrated what they set out to do. The Lakers cleared cap space, and they got a first-round pick in the – and they also got a player that, if healthy, can actually score some points for them and replace what Clarkson gave them. And the Cavs got younger, athletic, and they got better yesterday. I don't know how much better, but they're definitely a better ball club than they were Wednesday night.
There's no question about it. We'll start by talking about the Cavaliers, because this is a team that I think is actually built to make another finals run. Do I believe they're good enough to win the NBA championship? No, I don't. But I think they're now. I think they're good enough now to represent the Eastern Conference if they weren't already. George Hill is a sneaky good move yesterday. I know everyone's talking about Rodney Hood here in the state of Utah. A lot of people, again, are talking about, you know, Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance. For me, the difference maker yesterday for Cleveland is George Hill.
Well, the problem with him is that when he's healthy, he's really good. But when he's not, I mean, he's usually injured often, and that's usually the issue. And also, his defense has slipped tremendously over the last few years. So that's been the biggest issue with him. But no, if he's healthy, he's definitely an upgrade of what they had. I mean, over Isaiah, over Rose, over Calderon, and whomever else they played at the point this year, he's definitely an upgrade over all those guys. That's for sure. It's just with him, can he stay healthy? That's always going to be the big question. And they same thing with Rodney Hood. Rodney Hood's another guy that, can he stay healthy? He has different illnesses that keep him out of a couple games here and there, a little bit too often for people's liking. So there's going to be some questions that need to be answered sooner than later. But for the time being, they did pretty well with the guys they acquired yesterday. They achieved what they're trying to do, is kind of change the locker room a little bit and get younger and a little bit more athletic.
Yeah, now, when you talk about Isaiah Thomas and George Hill being an upgrade over Isaiah Thomas, for the now, he is. And I don't think this deal yesterday is an indictment on Isaiah Thomas. Now, I know he's got a hip problem. Anyone who has suffered a hip injury understands the ramifications of that. He's undersized to begin with, and he does take a beating. I get all that. But at the same time, people also need to understand the Cavaliers need to win now. Their future is, right now it's up in smoke. We don't know. We have no idea what the future holds for Cleveland. So by getting rid of Isaiah Thomas, who they only gave 15, 16 games to get back, which is no time at all from a massive hip injury, to get rid of him now and bring in George Hill, you're looking for the now. I still believe that Isaiah Thomas has some good basketball left in him. And when you mention both the Cavs and the Lakers being winners in this deal, the Lakers acquire Isaiah Thomas's bird rights. That's huge.
Right. Right, because, I mean, you can do sign trades in the summer. There's a lot of things you can do now. Here's the thing. In this situation, he's going to have an opportunity to showcase what he has over the next 30-some-odd games. He's a scorer. He's a guy that likes to score. The only issue is he was used to being the starting point guard on a team and being that guy, and that didn't work out so well in Cleveland. Worked out very well in Boston and to some extent in Phoenix as well and Sacramento. But in this situation, he's probably going to come off the bench. He's probably going to be in a situation where he's able to score and get points and look pretty good stat-wise. Don't know if it will translate to anything other than that, but it'll look good numbers-wise. But here's the thing, too. He's in a situation where he has to kind of be careful, because the last few situations he's been in, they haven't ended well. Sacramento didn't end well. Phoenix didn't end well. Boston didn't end well. The Cavs ended terribly. So if you're a player that's looking for a contract, you can't keep on having these issues, and the Lakers are a young team, and their young team is actually doing pretty well right now. If something happens, they have no problem cutting him before March 1st and letting him get bought out by somebody else.
No, you're 100% right. And I think, you know, looking at what Isaiah Thomas has accomplished in his game at the same time, that's something that's always overshadowed him, right? I mean, he's a little bit outspoken. Sometimes he's difficult to get along with in the locker room. I mean, this isn't something that just popped up in Cleveland.
Well, that's the thing as well. Like, that's the issue, especially in Cleveland. Like, he hasn't done anything there. So to every night you're saying something crazy or something kind of outlandish. It's like, hey, like, what do you haven't been through the battles with us, but you're the one making the boldest comments. That wears on people. And on a young team like the Lakers have, I would not surprise me if things don't work out in the first week or two that they would just buy him out and let him go somewhere else.
Cleveland also trading that first round pick to the Lakers means that they can no longer get rid of the Brooklyn pick. It is now theirs. I don't want to read too much into it, but is that somewhat of a direct correlation looking into the fact that LeBron's probably not going to be in Cleveland next year?
Well, technically, they can't trade it until draft night, right? Like, they have to draft somebody, then they can trade that pick, correct?
Right.
They can't do anything until then. But yeah, pretty much that. We're told you what you need to know. Like, they're expecting him to leave. And they want to have a formidable team, at least going forward. And that's why some of the additions yesterday, like, heck, if Rodney Hood works out, they can sign him. If Jordan Clarkson and Nance pan out, they can sign those two guys. And you have a lottery pick now. It's a decent start. It's a decent replacement. I'm not saying they're going to be a playoff team or anything like that, but at least it's a formidable situation going forward. However, going forward, could also be really ugly if these things don't work out. But that pick is key. I mean, the pick, I don't think it's going to be a top five pick. Looking like a top eight or nine pick, which is going to be, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it can go either way depending on how you draft, but they haven't drafted well, so we'll see what happens with that pick. But, yeah, that pick pretty much tells you how they feel and what LeBron's thinking as well.
Again, we're being joined right now by Jameson Welsh, I believe, TheHypeNBA.com. Jameson, I want to talk about the Utah Jazz. They move out from Rodney Hood. I think you and I have been talking for like 4 years now on if the Jazz would move on from Derek Favors. He's going to stay put. Maybe even for the foreseeable future in Utah. I know he's in the last year of his contract, but this tells me that maybe the Jazz are optimistic that they can get something done with him in the offseason, bringing him back next year. The addition of Jay Crowder, did the Jazz get better yesterday?
They did get better in a sense that I think a change of scenery for Crowder is going to be good. I don't think the Cleveland situation, he's another guy, but he loved Boston. He didn't want to leave Boston. Remember last year, and the whole Gordon Hayward to Boston stuff was going on. Like, he was upset because he didn't want to leave Boston. He was on a very good team, very good fit. I think in Utah he'll have a pretty good fit and situation there. We'll see how he plays, but I think the fit will be pretty solid, and we'll go from there. But with that being said, he's a guy that if he's consistent, if he's playing at a solid level, it's not a bad swap. It's not the worst of things, but it's not a bad swap when you think about it, because Rodney Hood, he's a guy that financially you're going to have to take care of this offseason. You know, he's a guy that's going to command big dollars. Young wing players with potential are always going to command big dollars, and if you're not ready to spend that, you're in trouble. Crowder has one of the better contracts in the league, so financially it's a pretty good swap. We'll see how it projects on the court.
I think, at the end of the day, a lot of this has to do with the fact that Ricky Rubio is finally playing at the level that I expected him to play at coming into Utah. I thought that Rubio would be a fringe all-star type player in Utah, especially alongside Rodney Hood. Now, obviously, that didn't happen, but Jameson, if you look over the past 10 games for the Jazz, a lot of the recent success has to do with Ricky Rubio, okay? So adding a Jay Crowder to this lineup and really relying heavily on Donovan Mitchell, who has blown everybody's expectations out of the water. I don't want to hear anyone tell me that they thought that Donovan Mitchell would be this guy at this stage in this season, because they didn't. We knew he was a lockdown defender, but offensively, he's been overwhelmingly better than anyone could have anticipated. I like the puzzle pieces that go together. Knowing what we know now about this team and Rubio playing at the level that he's playing at, I like the addition of Jay Crowder. It fits. It really does.
Right. It definitely does. And also, the Jazz are in a playoffs hunt as well. I mean, I don't think they make the playoffs, but they're definitely in the hunt. Especially with the Clippers, keeping DeAndre Jordan and signing Lou Williams, it's going to be an interesting finish to see what goes on. And also, as crazy as it sounds, Lakers are only six back, and they're playing very good basketball right now. So I think it's going to be a very entertaining last two and a half months of the season.
The Phoenix Suns acquire Elfrid Payton at the deadline for a second-round pick. I mean, that's all they had to give up to get Elfrid Payton. It's a guy that I'm kind of a fan of. I got to be honest with you. I kind of like watching him play. Phoenix got him on the cheap. What's the basis of this deal for Orlando? Why give him up for just a second-round pick at the deadline?
As you know and I know, whenever a new front office comes in, they like to kind of, sweep house a little bit. The guys they didn't draft that aren't really panning out well, they get rid of them and go with their own guys. That pretty much tells me that this upcoming draft, they're going to be looking for a point guard in the draft, whether it's Trae Young, Colin Sexton. Not really a big Duval fan, but they'll be in the search, a hunt for a point guard. And honestly, I can see that happening. I can see them going that route and going from there. So getting rid of Elfrid Payton before you have to pay him is a good situation, because the worst thing you can do in this NBA is lose assets for nothing. You have to get something for them. Even if it's a second rounder, if you draft right and you get the right pick, you usually, and also Phoenix's second rounder is going to be pretty high. Like, let's not forget about that. Their second rounder is going to be like in the 34 range or something like that. So that's not a bad pick at all. It's almost like a extended first-round pick. So that's not a really bad pick. So we'll see what takes place. At the end of the day, when you think about the situation, he didn't fit in their long-term plans, and that's why he was moved.
When this trade came through yesterday, and I don't know how I remember this, but you and I have had so many conversations over the past 5-6 years on this show, on numerous shows. It doesn't matter what. I mean, we've joined each other a million times on air. And I remember a conversation. It was probably about 3 years ago. We were talking about the teams that were in the best shape rebuilding-wise moving forward. And I think you and I agreed on the three teams. We said Boston, we said Utah, and of course the Jazz won 50 games last year, and then we said Orlando. Two of those teams competed. Two of those teams went to the postseason for Orlando, which just never came together.
We forgot about how bad Orlando's front office is, and it's been bad for a while, and that doesn't change things. When you have a bad front office, nothing is out of the ordinary. So we messed up on that. We didn't consider those two things, but Orlando's in a really bad shape because they have no direction. Luckily, Aaron Gordon is there, but they were talking about trading him. So we'll see what happens, but I feel sorry for the Magic. They don't get their front office doesn't get the criticism that they deserve because they've done a terrible job over the last almost, 8-9 years now?
Yeah, and they were in position to be a pretty competitive team in the Eastern Conference.
Right. You know, that's the thing. They were in a really good spot, but they just really didn't get together. And they didn't move. They should have moved away from Dwight a year before they did, but they have never recovered from that whole situation. Even with drafting Aaron Gordon, who's turned out to be a pretty good ball player, they've never recovered from that. And, you know, it's going to be quite a while before they're a decent team. And Frank Vogel's a good coach, but you wouldn't know it by him being there.
As far as the names that did not get moved, I'm shocked that DeAndre Jordan is still wearing a Clippers uniform. That's the name that shocked me yesterday that was not moved. I know there was talks of Julius Randle, talks of Aaron Gordon, as we just mentioned. Who was the biggest name that was not moved yesterday that surprised you?
Tyreke Evans not being moved was shocking. The other guys you mentioned, I see why they didn't get moved, because DeAndre Jordan, he loves L.A. There's a chance he signs with the Clippers, especially now with Blake gone. Julius Randle has played pretty well. He's a guy who can do a little bit of everything on the offensive end for his position. I see why he stayed. But Tyreke Evans is on a one-year deal. They don't have his bird rights. They're already capped out. They're not going anywhere. Get a second-round pick for him. Just get a second round or get two second-rounders for him and just move on. But to not get anything for him, that is bad GMing. And also not having Marc Gasol on the chopping block. Memphis is in a situation where they got a total rebuild. But then them not trading Gasol, them keeping Conley, and them not trading Tyreke Evans, really bad situation over there.
Yeah, I mean, let's be real. They're not trading Mike Conley. Nobody is taking that contract on. I think next to Luol Deng, Mike Conley may have the most unmovable contract in the NBA as it stands right now. Nobody is taking that. So you have to figure out a way to maneuver in some capacity, and even if you're getting minimal return for it, the two names, Tyreke Evans and of course Marc Gasol, those are two names that I thought for sure Memphis at some point would try to move. You can't forget the fact that they also have Chandler Parsons, who has a large, ridiculous contract as well. I think he's due $24 million next year, $25 next, and the year after that. So, and they're all fully guaranteed. There's no options attached to that. So, I mean, you have so much money wrapped up in Conley, Parsons, and Gasol, and you didn't move on from Tyreke Evans. I'm with you on that one.
Right, and they could have attached one of those bad contracts. They probably could have attached something to someone, or even if they didn't, they could have got a high second rounder for him, anything, especially for a guy you sign for the minimum, and you could have got something for him, but they didn't. And that's why the bad teams stay bad.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that Marc Gasol is bad at this point in time. I'm saying that that is the most attractable. That's the most attractable contract that they have to move to attach someone along with, right?
Correct. And also, at the same time, but then I haven't put him on the trading block is really bad.
Yeah.
But that being said, Tyreke, they got Tyreke for nothing. They literally signed him late in the process to a minimum deal, and he outperformed his contract. He has value, and to not get anything back for him is really bad, especially when you're tanking. Like, he helps you win games. Why are you keeping a guy who helps you win games while you're tanking?
It makes no sense. Jameson Welsh again joining us right here. Before I let you go, Jameson, best storyline from an underachieving team going into the second half of the season is what?
Oh, man. Underachieving team. Is that a young team or older team or just a regular team?
I'm going to say any team that – let me rephrase that. Any team that is not in the top six in their conference, biggest storyline moving forward?
You know what? As crazy as this sounds, Jordan, I don't know if Lakers are overachieving, but they're a huge storyline because of – they have like – two rookies playing high minutes right now, and they're winning games. That's definitely a storyline. Underachieving team. I really don't know who would be underachieving, because most of the teams that are in the playoff hunt are pretty achieving. You know, the only thing I can really think of is, even out West, there's really no one underachieving. Like, I don't really see anyone underachieving. That's a good question. I don't really see anyone underachieving right now, if you think about it. Everyone's kind of where you thought they would be at, in a sense.
I think the most underachieving team of the season at this point is probably the Clippers. I'm a little bit disappointed in where the Clippers were. Now, I know that things have changed drastically over the last couple of weeks. I didn't see the Clippers on the outside looking into the playoffs at the beginning of the year. I knew that CP3 was going to be definitely difficult to replace, but I thought they got enough back in that sign and trade that they would at least be mildly competitive, and they haven't been. Oklahoma City is probably the most underachieving team, at least in my mind, next to the Clippers.
Yeah, but there, I thought OKC would be right here in the 4-5 spot. I thought the Clippers would be right on the outside of the looking in the playoffs just because of the mix of players, and they have a lot of guys that get hurt. So I kind of figured that those aren't surprises to me. Portland is exactly where they are. The Pelicans are exactly where I thought they'd be at. So out west is really not a whole lot that surprising. I just thought that, if anything, I really don't have any surprises like that. Detroit was very underachieving before Blake got there.
Sure.
And a better team before Blake.
Yeah.
But since he's been there, they've been a lot better. But before, they were trending really down, and they were to the point where I thought they were in bad shape.
Jameson, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Everywhere. Your show, Steve's show on 1340, ESPN 1100 here in Vegas, 1480 in Nebraska.
You're all over the place, and you always join us here on this show, so I definitely appreciate the time. Jameson, we'll do it again next week.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We'll put the final touches on this week of the show.
This is John Wall from the Washington Wizards, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buskerings on KOAL 750 AM.
Wall shoots over Bayless. Dagger! John Wall with a career-high 47 points.
Back on Drive Time Sports, set to close out another week of the show. Definitely a fun one. A lot of stuff happening. And again, coming up tonight, we have more local basketball coming your way as the Emory Spartans take on the San Juan Broncos. It's a big game for Emory tonight. If they can get a win over San Juan, they will solidify the number 4 spot in Region 15. That's big. I mean, this region has been back and forth, so competitive throughout the year. So many times Emory had an opportunity to log a victory, but couldn't hang on to a game late. I mean, there's been close affairs throughout the entire year, and I think it's proof that Region 15 is by far the best division in the 3A classification. I think front to back, it really is. I mean, there's a lot of teams that can cause some problems. Now, just taking a look at where Emory would go if they were the 4 seed, they would play at 11 o'clock on Saturday, February 17th. That's where the Spartans would play. So we'll keep an eye on that. Again, we're going to get live coverage rolling at about 6:30 tonight. If you missed the post-game show on Wednesday, I'm going to replay that for you. We caught up with the 3 seniors on this year's team: Tyler Butler, Easton Gordon, and Alex Orozco. As the 3 seniors have really played different roles on this year's squad. Easton Gordon has been the pillar of consistency. Tyler Butler at one point in time led the state in three-point shots made. And Alex Orozco, first-year player, foreign exchange student, has really been able to push this team energy-wise off the pine. So we'll play that interview for you tonight, beginning at 6:30 p.m. I got to thank Jameson Welsh for taking out the time to join us on the show today. We have the best of Drive Time Sports coming up tomorrow and Sunday. We're back on regular schedule programming next week as well. For Travis Anderson, who was out of the studio today, I'm Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy some of the NBA basketball. We'll be gearing up for Major League Baseball next week when pitchers and catchers report. That's some exciting stuff to talk about as well. Have a great weekend. Be safe. I am out.